touch in your body, I want you just to lift your hand and receive it right now. The Lord is touching you. Just one touch. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your presence, Lord. Thank you for your healing power in this place, Lord. Thank you for touching PTS. Thank you, Lord, for a ringing in the ear that you're healing, Lord, right now. Thank you for your mighty power, Lord. Back problems, back pain right now. Fiery, burning neuralgia pain. That nerve that goes down the back of your leg, that major nerve, the Lord is touching that right now in the name of Jesus. God is helping people with posture problems, alignment issues. Lord, I thank you for your mighty healing power. People whose hearts are racing, people who are being triggered today. Fight or flight is rising up like you're scared, your heart is racing. Peace in the name of Jesus. Thank you for all our fears, Lord, being brought under, Lord. And we thank you, Lord. God is curing a lonely heart. He's touching a lonely heart. He's breaking rejection. Nobody loves you. Nobody cares. That's what you thought. But God is healing you right now. And you're going to be able to receive love. You're going to be able to receive love from God and love from people. The Lord is bringing deliverance and freedom in this place today. Lord, we thank you for touching every person. Just one touch, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. Thank you for your power, Lord. Somebody's being threatened. Somebody's actually made a threat against you. And that's bothered you and it got into your spirit. I break the power of that intimidating word, that threatening word. We break its power right now in Jesus' name. We thank you for your great victory, Lord. And thank you, Lord, for angels surrounding, encamped around us, Lord, protecting us, Father. Lord, we pray for our children today. We know that children and students, Lord, have problems and issues in their lives, and sometimes they feel alone. We thank you, Lord, for your mighty touch, Lord, touching our young ones, Lord, and our teens, Lord God. Thank you for your grace, Lord, breaking every chain, Lord, in the strong name of Jesus. And we declare that Jesus is Lord in this place. No other spirit, but the Holy Spirit rules and reigns in this place. We thank you for speaking to us, guiding us and directing us. Your comfort, Lord, your peace, your encouragement in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I was reading in the Gospels this week that everybody that Jesus touched and prayed for, every one of them got healed. Imagine that. He had a 1,000% batting average. Hallelujah. Everybody that he prayed for. How many of you know God has enough power to change anything and everything in our lives? Hallelujah. Well, it's good to see you this morning. I'm glad we could be together. Please take a teaching outline. There's one next to you on the chair there, and let's get right into the Word of God. You hear it often in our church about inspiring, transformed lives. We try to stay focused on our mission. Our mission is not to have good Sunday services, although we have wonderful Sunday services. Our mission is not to meet in small groups, although we meet in small groups, and that's great. Our mission is to see people's lives changed. Amen. That's the battle that we're fighting. That's the assignment that we're on. That's what we're giving for. That's what we're praying for. That's what we're believing for. This is the reason that we exist. But sometimes it may feel like, you know, what can one person do? What can I do? What can you do to change the world, to see the story change for a person in our lives? And actually, I want to talk about that this morning in a way that will just encourage you. We're going to go into the Gospels and we're going to look at what Jesus does and how he helps people and how we can be a part of that. We're starting a series here today called Let's Go, because amazing things happen when we say to each other, let's go. Everybody say that with me. Let's practice right now and say, let's go. All right, good. We're going to begin with Mark chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. Shall I read it for us? Let's look at God's word. It says, again, Jesus entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was heard that he was where? He was in the house. Immediately, many gathered together so that there was no longer room to receive them, not even near the door. And he preached the word to them. The word is so powerful. And then they came, watch this, bringing a paralytic who was carried by four men. And when they could not come near him because of the crowd, they uncovered the roof where he was. So when they had broken through, they let down the bed on which the paralytic was lying. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven you." And some of the scribes were sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, "Why does this man speak blasphemies like this? Who can forgive sin but God?" But immediately, when Jesus perceived in the spirit that they reasoned thus within themselves, he said to them, "Why do you reason about these things in your heart? For which is easier, to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven you,' or to say, 'Arise, take up your bed and walk'? But so that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins, ... Get ready for your mind to be blown, so that you may know," he said to the paralytic, "I say to you, arise, take up your bed, and go to your house." And immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went out in the presence of them all, so that all were amazed and glorified God. I think we should say this with them, saying, come on, everybody, "We never saw anything." Is that a wild story or what? They hear that Jesus is in the house, and the first thing they think of is, we got to bring somebody. This guy that's been struggling, we got to bring him and get him in front of Jesus. And they couldn't get him in, so they let him down on ropes in front of Jesus, breaking through the roof. And Jesus said, "I'm looking at this kind of faith." He speaks forgiveness to him and healing to him. The guy gets up, picks up his bed, and everybody's mind is blown. Everybody except the defeated scribes, the religious nuts, the cases that were trying to measure and evaluate his technique, his authority, his responsibility. They weren't interested in that man getting healed. They were interested in winning an argument. But Jesus blew right past him. He said, "Oh, you got a problem with me forgiving? Not only do I forgive sins, but I heal bodies." He said, "Pick up your bed and walk." Everybody's hair blew back, straight back, and their minds were blown by this amazing miracles. How many love the miracle stories of the Bible? But how did this miracle start? How did it get going? Let's dissect this story a little bit, because what I see, in light of our theme, "Let's Go," what I see is, I see men who said to a broken person, "Let's go. Let's get you to a place where you can receive. Let's get to the house of God. Let's get to an encounter with Jesus. Let's get before the Son of God so you can be healed, forgiven, and set free." I just have a simple thought. I want to remind us of something we probably already know, but here it is. Bringing people to Jesus is the greatest privilege. Bringing people to Jesus is the greatest joy we will ever have on earth. Getting involved in someone's life and bringing them to a place where they can meet the Lord. Now, God's word is full of information on the beauty of God's presence, the beauty of his house, the beauty of his community, and how when we come into God's presence, good things can happen. It makes me remember a story of the 1989 earthquake. How many were here in the South Bay for that earthquake, that event? Wave at me. Let me see your hands. That's one you never forget, right? I remember I was driving. Kathy was in Tahoe doing ministry with women's conference leaders. And so I had the boys. I think Aaron was about 5 and Jordan was about 3, something like that. Maybe Aaron was 6. I had the boys and I was ready to pick them up from kindergarten and preschool. And I was driving down the road and all the cars were pulling over. And I thought, am I doing something wrong? And then I could feel my car. And I thought, oh my gosh, I've got a flat tire and everybody's afraid. Everybody's afraid of my car. And I was just trying to put all this together. Why is everybody pulling over and why is my car shaking? And then I looked up at the telephone poles and they were doing that. I pulled over. And of course, you know, my first thought is I got to get my kids. Then my second thought is I got to get home. So I got the kids, put them in the car, and then I'm driving, and you remember those moments after the other car. Everybody's thinking, is there going to be another one, right? So it's a little scary. The world is shaking. It's getting dark. It's a little bit cool outside. And we drove across from the Cambrian area where the boys were going to school all the way over to the east side where I lived. Hallelujah. With the helicopters and the searchlights. How many live on the east side? All right, 3 of you, because the rest of you got out of town. All right. So anyway, we got there, and just as we drove up, the sun is going down, and my worst fear was realized. We turn on the light switch, no electricity, power's out. So now we're home. We got no heater. We got no light, and I'm thinking I got 2 little boys. Thinking I got to feed them and figure it out. And what do I do? What do I do? And the first thing that pops into my mind is get to Pat and Diane Martinez's house. Because Pat and Diane helped us raise the kids. And they were like kind of like grandparents to my kids in a way. They would babysit and help us out. And they loved our boys. And so I thought, shoot, I'm not going to be able to cook. Maybe they have power. And I don't think I called them. I think I just put the boys in the car. I could see that our house was a dead end, no power. So let's try the Martinez house. And I got to their house, and they had power, and they had food. Hallelujah. And it was just like coming home. It was a place when the world was cold and shaking, it was a place for me and my family to find refuge. And I think that's a little bit of what happened for this paralytic man. His world was shaking. His world was cold and dark, but his friends said, hey, we know a place where Jesus is. And they picked him up and they brought him to that place. And how many of you are glad there is a place when the world is shaking and dark, when we're out of power, there is a place, the household of God where the presence of Jesus is and people are gathered to hear the word and God is, how many are glad for a place that you can call home? Now that's a little bit about what the story is about. And it fits with some scriptures that teach us that God's house is a place of blessing. God's house is a place of encouragement, blessing, safety, and provision. Let me share a couple of verses with you. Psalm 36, verse 7 and 8. How precious is your unfailing love, O God. All humanity, watch this, finds shelter in the shadow of your wings. You feed all humanity, all people. You feed them all from the abundance of your own house, letting them drink from the river, your river of delight. Psalms 36. Psalm 122, verse 1. You guys know this one. I was glad when they said to me, what? Let's go. Everybody say, let's go. Let's go to the house of God, the house of the Lord. And then Isaiah chapter 2, verse 3, many nations will say, the lost will say, the people who don't know the Lord will say, come and let's go. Let's go up to the Lord's mountain, to the house of Jacob's God, so that he may teach us his ways and we can walk in God's paths. There is a place when the world is shaking There is an environment. There is an atmosphere. There's a community of love and grace. The local church, the people of God, the household of faith, where people can just say, let's go. And let's drink from the river of God's delight. And let's learn the ways of God. And we'll walk in his ways. And he'll teach us his ways. And we'll walk in his paths. I'm grateful for the house of the Lord. I'm grateful that there's a place I can bring my children. I'm grateful that there's a place that teenagers can gather. Come on, somebody. In this world that's shaking and dark, I'm grateful for our children's ministry. I'm grateful for our youth group. I'm grateful for young professionals and small groups and Sunday morning gatherings and Saturday prayers. And I'm grateful for locations in five cities. Hallelujah. Because there's place for people to come and find what they're looking for when it's cold and dark and shaky. Let's go back to our story, because we all know the house of the Lord is a blessing and it's a place we can say, let's go. But let's take a look at what happened when these men said to their friend, let's go to the place where Jesus is. I see three things, and it's all about the joy of bringing. So here's the first one, the joy of bringing. First thing I see is that friends bring connection. Never underestimate the power of friendship and connection with people, really loving and really connecting with people. That is so important in our spiritual life, and it's one of the ways that God can use us to change another person's life. In verse 3, we saw where his friends literally brought him. His friends brought him. Not figuratively brought him. I mean, they literally brought him. He was paralyzed, carried by four friends, and they brought him to Jesus. That was the connection that made all the difference in this guy's life. Now, why were they doing that? Because they wanted a gold star on their chest for bringing somebody to church? Or what were they doing? They loved him. They loved their friend. They knew that if they could get their friend connecting with Jesus, that his life would change. His friends, in other words, his friends loved him enough to say, let's go to that house where Jesus is. And I like that they loved him when it wasn't convenient. Some people are a little harder to love. You know, the ones that can't move, the paralyzed folk, you could say, let's go to a friend if he can walk, and that makes it easy. But some people are a little harder to love. In other words, loving them takes a little more effort. It means we get our hands involved in what's happening in their life, and we pick them up, and we say, come on, let's go. I'm not going to leave you. I'm not going to leave you. You need this encounter. You need this experience. And it's love, always love, always love, that's motivating our hearts. The kind of people that we can say, come on, let's go. What kind of people would they be? I flew in, Kathy and I, we spent a few, 2 days, the last 2 days, Friday and Saturday in Las Vegas, Nevada. We have some friends there that are pastoring a beautiful church, and they're reaching out to us and welcoming us to get involved with them and help them and coach them and love on them and just kind of get behind them, because it's a tough city. So we're flying into Las Vegas, which is a city with a reputation. And I'm looking at that city differently than I have in the past. I'm flying into that city and I'm saying, in the past, I've said to Kathy, I don't want to go to Las Vegas. I don't want to have anything to do with Las Vegas. Las Vegas is everything I'm trying to avoid. Wrong sex, overeating, gamble. It's just all the stuff that I'm trying to, you know, I'm not trying to get involved in that. Trying to stay away from that. But now I'm looking at this city and I'm thinking about all the broken lives. Yeah. Thinking about, now I'm looking at it not as a tourist or not as a religious leader. I'm looking at it as a place that might need my help, that might need our help. And I'm saying, I think there are people here in this city that need a touch from God. And I thought about the broken stories. Then we fly home and I'm looking. It was a beautiful day yesterday as we landed. And I tell you, I love San Jose. I just have to tell you, I love this city. You people are not hard to love. I love it here. But I'm looking and I'm thinking not just at the building, not about the buildings and the freeways and the traffic and the housing prices, and don't get me started. But I'm thinking about the stories, the people, you know, the broken lives. So when I'm asking myself the question, who would I say, let's go to? And the answer looks like people who are sick and broken, like the man in this story. We would say to a person who's sick and broken, let's go to God. Let's go to God's house. I would say to a lost sheep, somebody who, you know, the Bible talks about the, I think we sang it this morning, right? The song, he leaves the 99 and he goes after the one. We would say to the one who wandered off, hey, come on back to the fold. Come on back to the fold. There's the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And that's different than a lost sheep. I think the lost sheep of the house of Israel are people that had community. They had connection. They had a life of faith. They knew the house of God. They experienced God's house, but somewhere they wandered off. Kind of like the prodigals. There are people all around us that are in all kinds of need and all kinds of brokenness, whether they're paralyzed or lost or prodigals, or they're people with great potential. Some of the people that we go to school with and work next to, they don't know the Lord. They could be a powerhouse leader in God's kingdom. They have unbelievable potential if we just get our eyes right, if we stop seeing things from the outside and really see through the eyes of Jesus who that person is and what their potential is, and we see the pain and we see the paralysis, and we're able to say, you know what? Come on, let me bring you into an environment where something great could happen. I wonder if Gateway could be that kind of an environment. A place where people's lives change, a place where people get nurtured and strengthened and transformed, not because of us, but because Jesus is in the house. Hallelujah. You say, well, I don't think everybody that comes to Gateway is going to have an instant miracle. Probably not. But it's not going to hurt them. Hallelujah. And they might just get touched by the Lord. Would you agree with this statement? I haven't made it yet. What an agreeable audience. I love you guys. You guys are the best. The most important thing we can do is to bring a friend to Jesus. Would you agree with that? Can you think of anything that you could ever do in your life that would be more important than to do what these men did to their paralytic friend? Just bring him to the Lord. I love that friendship factor. And that connection thing is so powerful. The second thing I see in this story that I wanted to point out is that faith brings the breakthrough. I see that as a huge piece of this story. They brought their friend. They let him down through the roof. And Jesus saw something. Do you remember what it says? When he saw their faith. Is faith something you can see? Apparently it is, because Jesus saw their faith. And when he saw their faith, he released his power. Imagine the scene. I mean, we glossed through that story, like, so we've maybe read it before or heard it, but just use your vivid imagination to imagine you're in this house. It's hot, probably. Oxygen is a little short. Your neighbor's sitting a little close to you. I don't know when was the last time they had a chance to bathe, but it's a hot afternoon, and you're just wanting to hear Jesus teach the word, and everybody's excited about Jesus. People are crowded around the house. You can't get in. And then you hear, just as Jesus opens the scroll and begins to share the scripture, you hear a scratching on the roof. And you think, what is that? Is that termites? Is that an animal? Is there a rat up there? Is there a dog up there? What's going on? Pretty soon a tile comes off and a shaft of light pierces the darkness of the room. Everybody's looking up. The sermon stops while the following drama unfolds. Tile after tile is removed from the house. Can you imagine? You're the homeowner, right? Excuse me. I mean, he lost control a long time ago. His house is jammed. He, you know, he, I mean, now they're dismantling his roof. He's having a hard time, right? And then they get the hole big enough. I don't know exactly how they do it. Did they have pulleys? Were they super strong men? Imagine this guy on his bed, whatever that was, a blanket or whatever. Maybe it's a blanket with four corners tied to four ropes, and they let this poor guy down. Imagine the look on his face. And imagine what everyone else was seeing as Jesus watches this drama unfold right in front of him. They lower him down like an elevator right in front of Jesus. And it says Jesus saw their faith. The homeowner saw a civil suit. He saw his day in court. He saw damage, right? But Jesus saw their faith. And I think how God is using these friends to get their friend into a miracle as they literally break through in faith. We know the man had faith because as the story unfolds, Jesus tells him to pick up his bed and walk. And so he had the faith to obey the Lord and start walking. And so, but also I think the faith that might be overlooked is not just the faith that the man had, but how about the faith of his friends? Because to really get a person into a miracle, sometimes you need some help from the people that are around you. Now, let's just play this out. Did this guy get a miracle by himself? Was his faith enough to get him into that room and to get him healed? It wasn't. No matter what was in his heart, and we don't know. He never said a word as far as we know in this story. We don't know exactly, but Jesus saw faith. But here's a guy who's believing, maybe hoping, maybe something could happen, but the miracle didn't happen until his friends got involved with him and they said some magic words to him. Here's the words they said to him: let's go. We're gonna help you, we're with you. You're not heavy, you're our brother. We're gonna bring you and we're gonna get you into an atmosphere. We're gonna get you into a position where a miracle can take place in your life. Thank God for the friends who are willing to love the people that are not so easy to love. The people who, being in relationship with them, it costs us something. It's not convenient to love them. It's not easy to love them. It's a trial. Some of you are caring for your elderly parents. Thank God for that kind of love. That you love your parents and you're taking, it's not easy to take care of them maybe in those days of your life. You could be doing other things. But you're saying, in essence, we're not letting go of you. How about parents who are raising children? How about parents who are raising teenagers? My wife got a message from a pastor's wife who has two teenage girls. Pastor Kathy, please pray for us. I have teenage girls. It's not always easy to love everybody. But God didn't call us to love the convenient. He called us to love everyone. Can I have an amen this morning? Think about this. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 and 21. God is able to do much more than we ask or think through his power working where? In us. Do you believe God wants to use you and he wants his power to work in your life? He wants his power to work in us. May we see the shining greatness. May we see his shining greatness in the church, so that all people may honor Christ Jesus. What a beautiful prayer. Think about this guy. He was a paralytic. He was stuck. Let me just say this. Some people get stuck in life. When you're paralyzed, you can't move. When you're paralyzed, you have no feeling. It looks like you're dead. You're really alive, but you may as well be dead in a way, because you're stuck. And I know people that are stuck, paralyzed in their marriage, paralyzed in their finances, paralyzed in their emotional life, paralyzed by PTSD, paralyzed by fear, paralyzed by alcohol, by drugs, by whatever it is, and they're stuck. And what they need is not judgment. What they need is not somebody to come along and say, snick, snick, snick on you. You deserve that. If you would get a job, if you would pick yourself up, if you would obey the law, if you would do this, if you would obey God, then you wouldn't be in this situation. They don't need another person like that. They need somebody to say, let me help you. Let me bring you. Let's go to God's house. Somebody ought to say hallelujah. How many were that person that needed help? I was. I wasn't looking for the Lord. Some people said to me, come on, let's go to this place. I didn't like it. I heard praying, people praying in the Holy Spirit. That creeped me out when I first heard it. I said, what is this, you know? But I could feel God's presence then. I could see the love. And boy, my life was changed big time. Psalm 66 verse 5 says, come and see what our God has done. Come and see the miracles that he does in people's lives. I've told some of you this before, but my older brother, Dan, he's 9 years older than me. And he was, you know, every younger brother looks up to their older brother. He was kind of a hero to me. The only problem was he was a drug dealer. And so from a very early age, I got really wrong messages in my young life about what was cool and what was powerful and what was the kind of a lifestyle. It's part of why I got off track was because I had the wrong hero. I have a different hero now. His name is Jesus. Hallelujah. But Dan, you know, his life was messed up and it was coming unglued as it always does when you try to live for the wrong things and sin takes over and you're lost and paralyzed with sin and problems and bondages. And when it was such a heartache for our family to watch my brother's life falling apart with addiction and sin and turmoil. And I don't know how it happened, but it was a few years after I got saved. So maybe it was maybe 1978 or somewhere around there. And Resurrection Sunday was coming. Easter was coming. At our church in Mountain View at the time, the church where Kathy and I got saved and met and were raised and all that in that part of the city, we were new converts. And my parents were so desperate with my older brother, Dan, that they just took a shot and they said those words to him. It was Resurrection Sunday. And they said to my brother, let's go. Everybody say, let's go. Let's go here. Your Uncle Emmanuel speak. Now, our founding pastor, Apostle C, stand up. This is our founding pastor. Don't be shy. Come on. Come on, Apostle C, stand up. Stand up. Our founder is in the house, all right? We didn't get here by ourselves. We had a pastor so he was preaching, and beautiful Easter Sunday message. Convicting, life-giving, beautiful. My brother was there. I was sitting a few chairs down from him. End of the message comes. Everybody bow your head, close your eyes. I bowed my head. I closed my eyes a little bit. As the opportunity was given to receive Christ, who here will lift their hand and say, I need Jesus? And I saw my brother's hand come up, tears coming down his face. He was so broken. And that was, whenever that was, 1978, 79, he's been saved and filled with the Holy Spirit ever since. His life totally changed. Now, I'm a person that I'm good with 12 steps. I like celebrate recovery and all of that. He never went through any of that. He was instantly delivered. Instantly delivered and set free. And it's because somebody said to him, let's go. Let's go to a place. And I think about the people in our lives that we could say that to, and it moves my heart. Here's a simple step that I want to just challenge everybody to take. In the seat pocket in front of you, you've got a card that looks just like this series. It says, let's go. I don't want this card. This is your card. It's a gift for you. Our staff made it up for you. I want to challenge you to write the names of three people that are stuck, three people that are lost, three people that need Jesus, three people that are prodigals or lost sheep or whoever they are that God lays on your heart. Take a minute, do it now or do it later today, whenever. Write that name and put that up on your fridge or on your dashboard or somewhere where you're going to see it. And every time you see this card, pray for those people because God wants to do a miracle in their life. And I believe as we pray and focus on the lives of the Dannys and the paralytics in our life, the Lord is going to do wonderful things, all right? So just take that, use that, and think about maybe a great time to say those words to that person at the right time, led by the Holy Spirit. You know what? Let's go. I don't want to leave you where you're at. Come on, join me. All right, here's the last piece. Oh, let me just say this. Don't go to heaven by yourself. Bring someone with you. It's the greatest thing you can do. All right, last piece of this as we get ready to close. I want to talk about forgiveness and transformation because this is really how the story ends. Jesus said to him, "Son, your sins are forgiven." And immediately he arose and took up the bed and carried the bed out in the presence of them all. Everybody was amazed. It was a party. They all glorified God. Imagine the joy that they felt. I can tell you the joy I felt when my brother gave his heart to the Lord. I can tell you, I could tell you the joy I felt when I gave my life to Christ. And I want that joy to touch people's lives. This is not the story of the healing of the paralytic. It's the story of the forgiveness and healing of the paralytic. Forgiveness and healing go together. Psalm 103, he forgives all my sins. And what? Yeah. How many of you believe that if you confess your sins to God, he'll forgive you of your sins? And how many of you believe if you need healing, God is there for you? He'll touch you. He'll forgive and he'll heal. It's not hard. And that's why Jesus said, and the Pharisees, they were just trying to measure it and weigh it and evaluate it and disallow it. And they didn't care if this guy got healed. They didn't care that his heart was broken and he needed God. They were trying to figure out, all right, what's the rule book say? And Jesus said, you want to talk about the rule book? How about this? Boom, you're healed. Boom, you're forgiven. In your face, Pharisees. Healing and forgiveness go together. I just want to say this over you. If you've messed up, there's a Savior. He'll forgive you. Come to him. If you're broken, there's a healer. He'll put your life together. Are you sick? Call the church leaders together to pray. They'll anoint you with oil in the name of the Master, and believing prayer will heal you. And if you've sinned, you'll be what? Forgiven and healed inside and out. Aren't you glad? The Lord convicted me as I was studying this message because I mentioned to you that we came back from Las Vegas. We're helping a church there. They're connecting with us. And in times past, you know, Las Vegas has just been a place for me that I don't really want to be a part of. But now I'm going into this city to try to help. And I have to change my heart. And the Lord said to me, are you gonna align with the religious people who are critical of a place like Las Vegas? Or are you gonna align with me and my love for that city? And boy, it hit me. How easy it is to be like a scribe or a Pharisee and say, shame on this and shame on that. And there are things that are wrong, and I'm not contesting things that are wrong. But what about the people that need the message? And so here we are on a Friday and a Saturday. Most people are relaxing. And I'm rolling up my sleeves to get involved with a city that's filled with broken people to see if we can see more people come to the Lord. And what I hear the Lord saying to us is, let's go. Let's go. Let's go where the pain is. Let's go where the hurt is. Let's go where the crippling problems are. Let's go and bring the message of forgiveness and salvation wherever we can. Amen. I want to pray for you. Bow your heads, everybody. Somebody may have said to you, let's go. And that's how you got here. Now, would you allow the Holy Spirit to lay people on your heart? People that maybe in the past you've been critical of. Maybe you were like me, a little bit more of a scribe or a Pharisee than a compassion person. Just let that drop off and let God give you a heart of compassion for the people that are stuck, the people that are wounded. Let the theologians debate how they get saved and all of that. I just want to get involved. I want to help bring people to Jesus Christ. Lord, we ask you to touch our hearts. We ask you to fill us with fresh compassion, Lord, for the prodigals, for the hurting that are around us, Lord. We go to school with them. We work next to them. We live in the apartment above them. Lord, I pray that you would just give us compassion for the lost. Change our hearts, Lord. Help us to see our city and all cities as places where the good news can be preached and lives can change. Thank you, Father. And Lord, I pray for everyone who's in this room or watching online, listening in the cafe. I pray for people that feel stuck. I pray, Lord, for people that are hurting, people that are lost in sin. I'm asking you, Lord, to redeem and heal and set free as never before. Thank you for your power. Jesus, we love you. We thank you for dying on the cross for our sins. So we could say, sorry, Lord, sorry for our sins. Lord, we repent. We give our sins to you. We ask you to forgive us and wash us, Lord. We ask you to change us, Lord. Bring us into wholeness and healing. Lord, do that all over this room, all over our listening audience right now in the name of Jesus. Do it in all five of our cities, Lord. Let us see a harvest as never before, a harvest of people coming to you, Lord. And use us. Let us connect to it. Let us be a part of it. Thank you, Father. Keep your heads bowed just for a moment longer, eyes closed. I'm just wondering, today there would be hundreds of Christians here, but there may also be people in this room or watching online that don't have the assurance of salvation. You're not positive that you've completely surrendered your life to the Lord. Today would be your day to do that, to get that right, to say, Jesus, I'm sorry. Forgive me of my sins. Lord, I need you. I can't do this without you. Today would be your day. If you're a backslider, if you're a lost sheep of the house of Israel, if you're a prodigal, this would be the chance for you to say, Lord, I'm coming home. I'm coming back to the house of God. I'm coming back where I belong, Lord, where I can be healed and touched and delivered. If that's you, I want to pray for you. And I would never embarrass you. And thankfully, I don't have to let you down on ropes in front of a crowd today. You could just lift your hand and say, that's me, Pastor, pray for me. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, that's me. I'm that person, I need Jesus. If that's you, just lift your hand right now. Just say, Pastor, pray for me, I need Jesus. Just lift it up. I see your hand, thank you, that's beautiful. I see three hands over to my right. I see four hands in the back of the building. Five, six, on my left, I see your hand over there. How wonderful. Just lift it up and wave and say, Pastor, I need you. All right, put your hands down. The Lord sees your heart. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I'm praying right now. The power of God and you that are online, God's touching you. He's speaking to you. Respond to him. Respond to him. He loves you. He'll help you. Lord, I'm asking right now that you turn lives around. Change lives, Lord. I'm taking hold of these hands, Lord. I'm lifting them to you. I bring them to you. And I ask you to take over. Fill them with the power of heaven, the power of faith, the power of the Holy Spirit. Give them a brand new life, Lord. And I declare over them from this day forward, their sins are forgiven and their lives are healed in Jesus' name. If you agree with that prayer, say amen. They're going to put a prayer up on the screen, and I want all of us to say this prayer. We saw about, I lost count, maybe 10 or 12 hands go up. What do you think about that? You think we should say thank you and welcome to everyone? Awesome. How many world changers was that? I don't know. How many potential world changers? And God is about to change the story for people. It's amazing. Thank you, Jesus. Put the prayer up on the screen and we're going to say a prayer and then we're going to get ready to receive our tithes and offerings. Pastor Chris is going to come and close the service here in just a moment. But I want to say to those of you that raised your hand, there's a card you heard about earlier in the service that says, I've decided. Oh, you know what? I don't have a prayer. Sorry. There's not a prayer today. All right. Scratch that. He's out of his mind. He's been in Las Vegas all week. No. There's no prayer. They're going through. Where's the prayer? Here's what I want you to do. The card you heard about earlier, it says, I've decided. It's right in front of you. If you raise your hand, just take a minute, record down what decision you made, put your name on it, and take it to our welcome center. Our welcome team has a gift to give you. We're going to give you a Bible and some information about your next steps, the simple things that just to have the assurance of salvation. I'm so proud of that decision that you made. Also, in a moment, you'll see our friends on the prayer team. And then if you're new in the church, we have our welcome weekend over here. We have a gift for all the newcomers. So I'd love to shake your hand and meet you if I've never met you. We're going to close the service this way with worship as the worship team comes. Ushers, would you wait on the people? Thank you for your giving, guys. Let's continue to inspire, transform lives together. Amen.
Wow, what a powerful word. Thank you, Pastor David. You feel God's word and compassion going deep in your heart today. Thank you, God, that the same mercy you gave to us, God, we want to extend to other people, God. Light up our pathway. Show us who to reach out to. Show us who to put on that card right now. Holy Spirit, bring those people to our minds that nothing is impossible. No one is too far gone. Give us faith to believe. Lord, your mercy, let's sing it together, triumphs over judgment, love wider than horizons, it's stronger than all sin. Oh, let's lift our voices, sing, Lord,
trust. Oh. I mean, just to think that God could use every one of us. What was it? Connection, breakthrough, transformation. How many know God can do that with every one of us here, too? I see Jamie Marcus over here. You brought Xavier Thursday night to the men's Bible study. He received Christ. How many know we could all do that? We could all do that. Listen, everybody, get your cards. Get your cards. And so I wrote down Nelson, my brother, Bob, and Steve. That's my assignment for the next several weeks. I pray that everybody here, we all have our assignments from God as to who we're going to be praying for. And I'm going to pray in a minute here. We'll seal the deal this morning. Listen, Welcome Weekend is over to your right. Pastor David will be over there. Anybody that's new here over the last several weeks, we'd like to invite you over. We have information we'd like to share with you, a free gift, and hear your story and see how we can be a blessing to you. Amen? You ready? Father, we thank you for this opportunity today for us to gather, to be together, to glorify you, to hear your word from the man of God. We just thank you for your grace. And Lord, this week we go out into the mission field, and there may be a man on a cot that has a need. And we're going to ask the Lord God for the courage to pick him up and bring him in Jesus' name. Let that grace rest upon us here. And Lord, when he comes or she comes, we're going to celebrate, Lord, a transformation of a life. And we thank you for that opportunity. What you're going to do over the next several weeks, let there be a joy and an anticipation of something great happening in the house of God. And we give you the glory for it, Father, in Jesus' name. We bless the people of Gateway. Go in the power of the Lord and the grace. In Jesus' name, we'll see you over here soon. God bless.